Well, this is the first time we have had the privilege of having Dr. Lou Baldwin with us, and had a lot of things prepared to say, and found a lot of things, interestingly enough, about him online, and was compiling a whole lot of wonderful things to say. And instead, I decided just to relay some things that really I think that we can connect with. Brother Baldwin is a friend of our friends. Many of you know Dr. Bud Calvert, who's been here many times, and his son, Troy Calvert. And when I was talking to Brother Bud, and actually Dr. Sisk is Brother Baldwin's best friend in the ministry. And when I was talking to these men about different speakers that I could have, the first one on the top of their list was Brother Baldwin. And I was privileged enough to get in contact with him and ask him if he'd be willing to come. And it really is an honor to have him to come. According to him, the best way to introduce him is this. He's just happy to be God's child, and he's happy to be saved by grace. And so, Brother Baldwin, apparently I'm done. So why don't you come and preach to us for a while?
Thank you very much, Pastor. I certainly appreciate you. I just met him, by the way, today, and I feel I'm in trouble because I like him already. We certainly thank the Lord for this church and Dr. Calvert and Troy Calvert and Dr. Bud Calvert mentioned this place many times. And by the way, they both call him friend. So I guess that's a good sign to know that he's a friend of the Calverts. But we certainly appreciate this local church and what you're doing. And I love mission conferences. My wife, Jeanette, and I have been in many mission conferences all over the country, different parts of the world. I love being around missionaries. They are special people, and the local church is privileged to be able to have these servants to be able to come and help us do what God has commissioned and commanded his local church to do. So I feel very comfortable around missionaries, and I certainly thank the Lord for you. And you may not totally understand it all now, but you are blessed that for the last 10 or 11 years, that you have had a missions conference where you have made this the highlight of your year. You cannot go wrong taking care of God's business, and I appreciate Pastor Haynes and meeting him today and his wife and family, and thank you all for all the accommodations, the food, the fellowship, the goodies, and all of that. And I'm looking forward to a great time together, and I'm glad that my wife could come and be here. We travel a lot. And I appreciate her. She packs my clothes and keeps me looking halfway decent in so many things. And I wouldn't know how to make it without her. Next year, we'll have been married 50 wonderful years. And we certainly thank the Lord for each of you. So thank you, brother, for having me here. And I trust that God will bless this week. I'm going to preach from Matthew chapter 28 tonight for the first message of our missions conference. And by the way, when I pastored for 30 years, I taught or preached from this passage every single year at our local church, and I never preach a missions conference without preaching from Matthew chapter 28. And if you'll listen tonight for a few moments, won't be real long, this particular passage really changed my life when it comes to missions and world evangelization that made a difference for 34 years in a good local church that God has used to have support some over 200 missionaries and started 29 churches and given millions of dollars to world evangelization from a little small church outside of Washington, D.C., and God has blessed them in a mighty way. And I want to share those thoughts with you tonight. So if you're physically able, let's stand together. I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse number 16, and then we'll share what the Lord's laid upon our hearts for the beginning of your conference tonight. Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse number 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Our Father, we thank you so much for Shadow Mountain Baptist Church, and thank you for Brother Haynes and the wonderful people here and how you have used this church in just a short period of time to be able to reach out and support missionaries and have these conferences, Lord, to be able to challenge folks to get involved in God's program of reaching the world. We ask for your presence here this week in a very special way. Thank you for what has already been accomplished. Thank you for the missionary slide presentation, the wonderful service you sent here with us this week. And I pray that you might meet with us in a very special way. Now, Father, as we begin this meeting tonight, I pray you'll take me as your servant. First of all, cleanse me of any sin, then empty me of self, then fill me with thine Holy Spirit. You bless the preaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. The Lord Jesus Christ says in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18, I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I believe from the period of time that Jesus began his public ministry, which lasted about 3.5 years until the time of his ascension, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ established, instructed, and commissioned his local New Testament church. One of the things that you're going to find out about me this week, the two things that are very dear to my heart. First of all, I believe in family. I believe family is important. I thank God that I've had the privilege of meeting the family of this local New Testament church. And then secondly, I believe in the local church. I believe a local church is not an organization. I believe it's an organism. I believe it's alive. And I believe the Lord Jesus Christ established his church, instructed and commissioned his church. I believe from the time of his ascension until the time of his return that he has entrusted the church with something he did not give a Bible college. He didn't give any organization. He didn't give any group. He didn't give any individual. He gave it to his local New Testament church. I believe, as a person who was saved through the ministry of the local church, when I got saved in 1976 and spent 5.5 years in a local New Testament church, you know, you get used to your church. You get used to a church that has a nice building, and a church that has a nice choir, it has a nice staff and a school and all of these things. And you go out to start a church and you want to kind of emulate your local church. You want to, you know, I'd like to have this. I'd like to have a building. And I'd like to have a choir. And I'd like to have all of these things that the church I came out of had. But I found out something about the local New Testament church. Crossroads Baptist Church that began in 1981, there are a number of things we had to wait on. For instance, I was the song leader. And by the way, Brother Kyle, I was nowhere close to where you are leading the singing. I began as a song leader, didn't know anything about my, is it 3-4 or however? I didn't know anything about that at all. And I stood in a little banquet room there in the hotel, leading my little 30 congregation of about 30 and a little choir, 7 ladies, and I couldn't sing a lick at all. But I had to wait to get a choir. As a matter of fact, we waited several years to get a building. We had to wait to get buses and all of those things. But there's one thing we did not wait to begin as a little church in a banquet room of a hotel. We didn't wait to begin our mission. Because I believe without a doubt that what God gave the local church, God gave the local church the mission to evangelize the world. That very first Sunday morning, we took on 3 missionary families, meeting in a banquet room of a hotel, no choir, no building, no buses, no staff, none of those things, but we had a mission. The mission of the church is missions. Missions is the planting of New Testament Baptist churches around the world. And I don't care whether it's 5, 10, 30, 40, or 500, every local New Testament church has the same responsibility because missions is what God gave the church. So for a few moments tonight, I want to talk about what God gave the church. What God gave this local church, like he's given every local church a mission, and the mission of this church, like every New Testament Baptist church, is to reproduce yourself around the world. If you'll listen tonight for just a few moments, as we look into this particular passage, I want you to see what God gave this church and every local New Testament church, so when next year and all the years come, you'll say, thank God that this church has a missions conference. The mission of the church is missions. Hear the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his church. The first thing I want you to understand about what God gave the church is God gave the church the plan for evangelizing the world. We don't need a new plan. We have a plan that was given to the church by God himself. This plan is the authentic program that Jesus Christ gave the local church. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. When the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to his local church in this plan to evangelize the world, he gave the plan what I call a mandate. Missions is not an option. Missions is something that is mandated by Jesus Christ. It's the authentic program of God. So when I think about missions, I think about the fact that, first of all, it was given to the church by Jesus Christ as a command. So when you think about this local church, why are we having a missions conference? A missions conference is not cheap. You have to take care of speakers. You have to take care of missionaries, all kinds of responsibilities. But the reason that we're having a missions conference is because the Lord Jesus Christ says, I've given this local church a mission. And it's not an option. It is something that is mandated to the church by Jesus Christ as a command. So when I think about that, I think about the plan that God gave the local New Testament church is a mandated plan. Now let's look at what he says here in verse number 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, his local New Testament church, saying, all power or all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. So what I've got to understand here, in this plan that's authenticated by Jesus Christ, is a mandate to the church. Now, that mandate to the church is fourfold. Four things he tells us here in the Great Commission. He says, first of all, you are to evangelize, win souls. Every local New Testament church, the word teach there is to evangelize. The ministry of missions in the local church gets everybody involved. In other words, Jesus Christ has mandated Shadow Mountain Baptist Church, here's your ministry, that every man, every woman, every boy, every girl ought to be involved in. Every person ought to walk outside of those doors, across the street, find someone, and try to win them to Jesus Christ. So the first part of the ministry is, let's win people to Jesus Christ. Then he says, once we win them, let's baptize them into the local church. So to get people baptized, then we're to teach them those to be involved in winning the world. So if I look at the Great Commission, as a member of this local church, we're to be evangelizing, baptizing, teaching, and then mobilizing those people to be in the work of God. All right, that's the ministry that's been mandated, but that's not the mission of the church. If you look at the Great Commission, he says, Shadow Mountain Baptist Church, I'm mandating you to take this ministry of winning souls, baptizing the saints, teaching them to serve to every person and every place. That's why you have a missions conference. These missionaries are helping us to carry out the mandate. Could I have some water for just a second? Thanks. I'm on East Coast time. So what I have to understand, the plan that Jesus Christ has given the local church is, I'm mandating you as a local church to carry out a ministry where every person in here can be involved. You're to be winning souls, getting them baptized in the local church, teaching them to serve, mobilizing them into the work of God to reach a world. But I'm to take that same ministry to every person and every place around the world. That's the plan that he's given this local New Testament church. So when I think about the mission of the church, I'm thinking about, why do you have a missions conference every year? We've had 32. Because we've been mandated. We've been mandated. Why do you have a missions conference every year? Because Jesus Christ says, that's what my local church ought to be doing. All right, that's the mandate. So the ministry of the local church, win souls, baptize the saints, teach them to serve, and take that as a mission to every person and every place. That's what our missionaries help us to do. So every time a missionary comes to the local church, that missionary is helping this local church carry out the plan that Jesus Christ has. Thanks, appreciate that. I usually never drink water when I'm preaching. It must be that Haynes thing or something. He tried to feed me all of that food before the conference started. So here I am. I've got to understand this. I've got to understand, as a local New Testament church, missions is not an option. It's a mandated, authenticated program given to the local church by Jesus Christ himself. That's the plan that we're involved in. So as I look at it as a pastor of a local New Testament church, it makes no difference where I'm meeting, the size of my building, the size of my congregation. The point is that I've been mandated by Jesus Christ to be involved in a ministry of winning souls, baptizing the saints, teaching them to serve, and take that same ministry as a mission to every person and every place. And every time I take on a missionary, he's helping me to do that. That's the plan that he's given to the local church. The mission of the church is missions. Jesus Christ gave that plan to the church. Now, along with that plan, let's go back in the text. He says, okay, church, as you're taking this ministry that I've mandated as your mission, every person, every place, here's what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to give you a promise. That promise is twofold. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. The local church that's carrying out this plan has been assured a promise while we're doing it by God himself. That promise is twofold. Two things the Lord promises his local church. If you're carrying out this plan, I promise you two things. First of all, you will always have my direct presence. Lo, I am with you always. Lo, I am with you, church, always. Lo, I am with you, soul winner, always. Lo, I am with you that's giving the mission, always. As you carry out the plan, I give you an assured promise of two things, my direct presence, and then he says, even until the end of the world. Jesus Christ promised the church that as you are carrying out the plan, you are assured of a promise. Number one, you have my direct presence, and then he says, you have my divine providence. In other words, when he made that promise to the church nearly 2,000 years ago, he looked all the way to 2015 and said, that promise is good. No matter who's in the White House, no matter what the economy may be, you are assured of my promise because you're carrying out my authenticated program. So the church that's involved in missions, we don't have to fear the economy. We don't have to fear who's in the White House. We don't have to fear what's going on in our world, because after all, I'm involved in a plan given to the local church by God himself. And he says, church, you are assured of my promise to get the job done. Therefore, the local church has to understand the mission of the church is missions. We're carrying out God's plan. That's assured God's promise. But it goes on beyond that. Look over in Acts chapter 1 as we see the Great Commission continued there. The local church has been given God's plan to evangelize the world. It's a mandated plan. It is given as a ministry, the win souls, baptize the saints, teach them to serve, to be carried out as a mission to every person in every place. And as the church is involved in it, then he says, you are assured of my direct presence and my divine providence. You don't have to worry about the condition of the world to be involved in the mission of the church. Then he says, as you carry out this plan, trust in my assured promise. He says, I'm going to give you the power to get it done. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Here's what he says to the church. Here's my plan. Take my ministry. Evangelize. Baptize. Teach them to serve. You are sure to my promise of getting it done, but it can only be accomplished by my power. He says, ye shall receive power. The church has been immersed in the power of God to carry out the plan that's assured the promise of God. You know, we talk a lot about needing bigger buildings, bigger congregations. We need more people. We need more money. What the church really needs today is we need the power of God upon ourselves. You know what God's looking for? He's looking for some men, women, boys, and girls in his local church who'd be cleansed of sin, emptied of self, and filled with his spirit because the church has been immersed in the power of God. He's our source. He's our strength. He's everything that we need to get the job done. We just need to become a responsible people and get involved in the work of God with the right philosophy. He says, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both, that's across the street in Jerusalem, in all Judea, to another state, in Samaria, among the difficult, and around the world, and we're to be doing it all at the same time. That takes more than just money. It takes the power of God. It takes the power of God to be a soul winner. It takes the power of God to be a changed life. It takes the power of God to preach the word of God. God says, I've got a plan that's assured a promise, and it can only be accomplished by my power. Would to God that we come to a point in our lives that we understand that the mission of the church is missions. And God says, I've given that plan to my church. And if my church is carrying out that plan, it's assured my promise, and I will accomplish it through my power. May God help us to come to the point in our lives that we understand that the mission of the church is missions. And then I want you to turn over to Philippians chapter 4, and then fasten your seatbelt. The mission of the church is missions. Church planting around the world. Every local New Testament church ought to have an effort to reproduce itself around the world. God's in the business of calling people out of the local church. I had someone asked me years ago when I was preaching on the need of Black America, seeing more Bible-believing churches established. And someone asked me, why don't we have more Black missionaries on the mission field? And I responded by saying, where do they come from? It takes good local Bible-believing churches. If we don't have good Bible-believing churches, we're not going to have people call out of churches to go to the mission field. God's in the church business. God reaches down into a local church. God changes lives. I was a member of a good Bible-believing church when God spoke to my heart. And by the way, the church will make you a better servant. It'll make you a better husband. It'll make you a better father. It'll make you everything that you need to be. And what God wants to do is get a hold of the local New Testament church and have that church take on its responsibility, trust in his promise, and be assured of his power. So when it comes to the mission of the church, the plan has been given to the local church. As we carry out the plan, we are assured of his promise, and then it is accomplished by his power. But then it takes being advanced by his provisions. And that's where we run in trouble. In Philippians chapter number 4, a very familiar passage that I want you to see, the Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary church planner that we know anything about, says in verse number 13 of chapter number 4, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated or shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Verse 19, what I call one of the misquoted verses in all the Bible. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory, by Christ Jesus. When I look at this passage, the Apostle Paul, the great church planting missionary, was writing to the church of Philippi. And Paul was a missionary church planter there in Macedonia. And he's writing here to this church. And notice what he says. He says to this church, he says that when he was on the mission field planting local New Testament churches, this was the only church that communicated or involved or invested in his church planting ministry. He said you sent on a regular basis. You sent once and again. He said unto my necessity. Verse number 18, he talks about the fact that they were sacrificing and giving to missions and what God thought of it. He said in verse 18, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which was sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. He says, when you give your faith promise, when you give your missionary support to help these missionaries get on the field, he says, this is well-pleasing to God. And the church of Philippi made sacrifices. It was not a wealthy church. They made sacrifices to get the gospel around the world. And here's what he said. He says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That promise was given to a local church that was giving sacrificially to get the gospel around the world. Now, here's what I say back in Virginia. And I'm going to say it in California since I'm here. If you're not involved in the missions program of your local New Testament church and giving to faith promise above your tithes and offerings to see the gospel get around the world, I don't believe you can claim Philippians 4:19. I believe that it's written to a church that's giving sacrificially to get the gospel around the world. And I believe it includes men, women, boys, and girls who are giving to missions through their local church to take this ministry to every person and every place. At least I got one amen. God's given the church the plan to evangelize the world. It's authentic. We don't need a new plan. If the church is carrying out that plan, we are assured of his promise. We have his direct presence. We have his divine providence. You know what that tells me? A church cannot quit God's program, carrying out God's plan, no matter what circumstances we face or what the conditions of our world may be. Because he says, you have my direct presence, my divine providence. It's accomplished through my power. But it's advanced through the provisions of my people. And God says, if a church carries out the plan, claims the promise, takes the power that he's given the church, he says, I'll use people who will give sacrificially to get the gospel around the world, and there's nothing that church or that individual will ever need that my God won't supply. What a great promise. The plan doesn't need improving. The promise is fully assured. The power, the church has already been immersed in the power of God. The problem today is the people of God. The people of God, we've got to come to the point in our life where we realize, as you see those, well, let's stop clicking up there, those people that are dying every single day. God wants his church to come to the point where we don't allow circumstances to stop us from carrying out a plan that is given to Almighty God. In 1980, I heard a man preach a message entitled World Evangelization. And God got a hold of my heart. And when I started the Crossroads Baptist Church in a banquet room in a hotel in downtown Washington, D.C., 30 people sitting out there, and I looked out at that congregation, and Matthew 28, 19, and 20 rung out. No building, no choir, no staff, but if you're a church, you have a mission. The mission of the church is missions, will always be missions, is to reproduce ourselves. The reason we have bigger buildings, larger congregations, we want more money, we want more gifts and more talents, is not to be the largest church in the area, but we want to have the largest heart to help reach a lost and dying world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I hope this week that you'll understand, when it comes to missions, the mission of the church is missions. I've said for years, if a church is not involved in carrying out God's plan to evangelize the world, no matter what we think of ourselves, no matter how large we may be, how many people we may have, how big our building may be, we're not a New Testament church. The church has been given something that no college has been given, no organization has been given, no individual has been given. It's been given a mission. And that mission is to carry out God's plan that's been mandated. When you walk outside of those doors, you are part of that plan. And by the way, if you're not trying to reach people across the street and other on your job and co-workers and other people, you're not part of the whole plan. We're to do it all at the same time. Across the street, another state, among the difficult, around the world at the same time. How do you get it done? By his power and advance through his provision. May God help us during this missions conference to understand. A missions conference is not just a program that's thought of by the preacher. Missions is a program that's thought of by God. And he gave that plan to the local church. And that plan is a mandate that involves a ministry of winning souls, baptizing the saints, teaching them to serve, to be carried out as a mission to every person and every place. And as we carry it out, we are assured his promises, accomplished by his power. And may God help us this week to advance it by his provisions when his people come to the point and say, Lord, 7.3 billion people in the world. Is it worth my sacrifice? Is it worth my time? Is it worth me giving that others may go? And God says, if you're willing to do it, there is not a need that you will ever have that my God will not supply. May God help us to understand the mission of Shadow Mountain Baptist Church is missions, church planting around the world. And may God help us to get involved. Let's bow our heads in prayer. The mission of the church is missions. The Lord Jesus Christ has given that plan to his church. If you're part of this local church, you ought to start by being part of what he's mandated. You ought to find somebody to try to win to Jesus Christ. Once you win them, you ought to try to get them baptized in the local church. And then you ought to invest your time in ministering to them that they might be mobilized into the work of God. You ought to be assured of the promise that while you're doing that, the Lord says, I'll be with you. We ought to ask God to help us to be cleansed of sin, emptied of self, filled with his Spirit, that I might be greatly used. And God, help me to be involved in the provisions that you provide through your people, even if I have to give sacrificially or by faith. Help me to trust you enough to get involved. And when we do that, God says, I'll advance it by my provisions. Our Father, we thank you for the mission that you've given your local New Testament church. And I pray that you might look down this very first night at the heart of every man, woman, boy, or girl, and help us to realize that there's a reason why this week is set aside, why these six missionary families are here. It's because you've mandated this church, nobody else is involved. You've mandated this church to be involved in evangelizing the world. And I pray that you'd help us to be assured of your promise. Trust in your power and let you use us for the provisions to get it done. You bless this week in a very special way. I pray tonight if there be a man, woman, boy, or girl here who's never been saved, I pray they might trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then help every saved person here to realize we're part of a ministry that God's using as a mission because you've given this church a mission. That includes a plan with a promise by your power and your provisions to help reach 7.3 billion people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You bless in a special way. You bless the invitation time. Speak to hearts as only you can. We ask you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Let's stand together.